I want to pick up where we left off last week. We're talking about treasuring the Word, part two. How do I receive and respond to the Word of the Lord? Would y'all say that out loud? How do I receive and respond to the Word of the Lord? Okay, so once again, I'm going to do it differently in both services. Hallelujah. So here we go. Luke chapter 8 this time. Let me start by reading this so that this parable that I'm about to read, which I read last week, this parable frames this idea for us this morning. In fact, Jesus said in Mark, in Mark's version of this parable, Jesus said to his disciples, he said something to this effect. He said, if you don't get this, you won't get anything else in the kingdom. The idea presented in this parable is foundational for us to understand how we receive the word of the Lord, the proclamation of the kingdom itself, and respond to it. Okay? So here we go again. And then we'll come back to the front part. Okay? A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it, Jesus says, as he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. That path was hard. Everybody say that. That path was hard. There was nothing in that soil. That soil, if you will, did not yield. It did not receive. That seed didn't make it in there. Okay? Other seed fell among the rocks. It began to grow, but soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. So the seed fell into that soil, but then there was the lack of depth. The soil couldn't hold moisture. It's rocky, and then it died. Right? Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it. Say with it. It grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. There was competition in the soil. It choked that part out. Oh, that's me that's making noise. Hallelujah. Sorry. Okay. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. First of all, I got to stop, if I will, give myself permission, nobody else to ask. We read the scripture and look for the testimony. What's this testifying to? Right away, I just want to say, what testimony does this give us with respect to the power and intent of the seed? Just in verse 8. It produced a crop, someone say produced. It produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. God is extravagant, excessive, huge. He's huge. He's just huge. The testimony of the seed is not that when we get to the good soil, it's not like, and it produced a little bit more and was content with that. Produced 100 times. Add 2 zeros. So then he says, Jesus says, anybody listening? Listen. Well, okay, that's fine. He says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So his disciples say, well, we didn't get it. So Jesus takes a breath in verse 11. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. So God's word is seed. By the way, in the parable, there are four variables and one constant. Can we use that language? Can we? I don't want to go, okay? But I want to make you fall asleep. There are four variables, one constant. What are the variables? The soil. Okay? The variables are the? The constant is the? Was Jesus talking about different seeds? And were did different seeds lack ability to produce? Every seed sown carried with it the DNA and the assignment of God to produce what God told it to produce. The variable was what? The soil. I say that to say this. How many times, many of us, some of you, myself, I'm sure, people have prophesied, declared, or promised of God, or whatever, be it even from the scriptures. From the scriptures themselves, or from a confirmed word of the Lord, some prophecy over something, or the church, or a family, or a person. So I just see this little guy right here. And I come along and the word of the Lord stirs within me and I say, boy, God's called you to be thus and so and to do this with your life. And God's got a purpose of destiny for you. He's going to bless you. He's going to give you a wonderful wife who adores you more than almost as much as my wife loves me and all that kind of stuff. And right? You're going to have gorgeous kids and God's going to take care of you and you're going to be a blessing to the house and all these things, right? And then about 16, I'm making this part up now, okay? Then about 16, you decide, and you go off and do your thing and rebel and none of that comes to pass. Was the word of the Lord wrong? No. A lot of times, though, people will say, that wasn't God. Well, it was God, but you had a choice. But you know what's cool about that seed? The seed still got power. So at 16, Andrew says, he sets the seed on the shelf in the barn, walks away from it, and just lives like stuff in the barn. But at 35, I'm just picking up numbers, right? 35, 40 years old, 50 years old, stumbles back into the barn and finds that seed. And if he'll plant it, that seed has not lost its power. God's only intent for that soil is for it to make it fruitful. There's no condemnation. He doesn't even say, shame on you, soil. He's just looking for that soil to produce. We got to talk more about this booth thing. Can I just say this out loud? Because I don't want to confuse people. You're the great-great-grandson of General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. And this idea of carrying something. I had two conversations this week that affirmed me. There's something that more than I totally understand, but I know enough to say it. There's something about carrying a heritage of experience and lineage. Now, I was telling you, my parents were first generation. They just got born again, and everything can change. God is no respecter of persons, but in His no respecter, there is something special about what you carry. And so, there's even more. Now, I know that in your heart, you long for more than where you are and what you're doing, but there's more. And one of the reasons is there's generations of pressure, kingdom pressure that's built up. And may it just continue to be released through your life. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you all know, there's others in you in this house that there's seed that's got pressure. If you hold a seed, I don't know if they can make an instrument to measure. No, my notes, I haven't got to them yet. But, I don't know if you can measure, you know how you can measure air pressure or water pressure? I don't think they measure seed pressure. You can do that. You can get some sort of a stethoscope and slap it on a seed and think, I wonder if there's any pressure. But there is. There's pressure emanating from that seed and it's life. And when it's deposited into the soil of your soul and your life, that pressure will be released and produce the purposes of God. And God's purpose is for you not just to be a little effective or a little different, but here's what Jesus said. Listen to this. Verse 15. And the seed that fell on good soil represents honest and good-hearted people, not necessarily hard-working, striving, performing people, who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. Everybody in the house say huge. What's God's? What's that? What's the testimony there about God's intent? Just say it out loud.
Huge.
Say it like you're happy. Say huge.
Huge.
Come on, say it again. Huge.
Huge.
Yeah. What's God's intent for you? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're 95 or 5. God's intent, God's desire to put what He wants to produce through you is huge. It doesn't matter if you drop the baton in the race and you got to go back in the woods somewhere, back into the track, and when all the lights are off in the field and dig through the bushes on the side of the track. There's that baton. Pick it up. Run with it again. Because God's intention, God's assignment for the seed of His word over your life has not changed. Not changed. and his intent is marvelous. All right. I have no idea how to reconcile back to, so we'll try. We're talking about how to respond to the word of the Lord. How to treasure, how to protect, how to accommodate and adjust to the unfolding of God's word in our life. We started last week, we looked at Joseph and Mary, how Mary receives this word from the angel that says, you're going to conceive. There is all like stages. You're going to conceive, you're going to give birth. So conception, miracle, birth, miracle. Then he says, then the angel lays out the identity of her son and the destiny of her son, all in one word. And that was going to unfold. Someone say unfold. There was going to be a process of fulfillment. The minute the angel left, and the minute she said, "Let it be unto me according to your word," and the angel left, right there she received the prophetic word. No, she didn't. Their miracle already happened. And she didn't even know it. But for a little while later, then she found out. Oh, things are changing. And in that moment, as soon as she realized in her body that there was a child forming in her womb, at that point she knew, she was aware that the promise had been fulfilled. Right. Was the promise fulfilled?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Then 9 months later, sometimes promises are that way. She has to literally nurture this promise for 9 months. She gives birth. Is the promise fulfilled?
Yes.
And then it goes on and on and on. And she has to continue adjusting as the promise continues to unfold and mature. She adjusts. They have to adjust to the word. They have to. That's what good soil does. It clears out rocks, pulls weeds, right? You adjust. You accommodate, you honor, treasure the word of the Lord. Does that make sense? Okay? So we looked at that last week, how Mary and Joseph had to do this and that. I mean, they right away, the first couple, 2 or 3 years, were just adjusting. Yeah, right? Facebook updates on adjusting to Zay, right? And that's great. And get ready, right? You're like, oh, I'm happy. But guess what? Adjusting. Hallelujah. Right? Come on. Hallelujah. Right? Okay? And I'm happy. Guess what? Our church, North Wing, has to adjust because there's more. I can literally go down here and high five. My wife's gone, so whoosh. So I can't high five the. You know? No. All right. Just saying. Don't drink water then. Be careful. It's an epidemic. So then let's continue. So I want to pick up where we left off last week. We saw how they responded. That life for Joseph and Mary and for you and me is about leaning into the Word of God and choosing to believe that and respond to it. Then as the Word grows in Mary's life and matures, like them, we too must adjust and yield and modify our wineskin to accommodate the wine. We cling to the Word regardless of the shadows, of the threats, of discouragements, of adjustments, or even opposition. We protect the Word of the Lord. We protect the declarations of God over our life. Much in the same way as we just learned in this parable. The weeds of distraction and discouragement and deception and even division. You protect. Don't let the word of God be choked off by strife or negativity or discouragement. Do not be deceived. The enemy has no power over your life but to deceive you. He will tell you something contrary. Here's the word. Here's the lie from the enemy. And you always have a choice. Yes, I'm talking to you, Dylan. You have a choice. Well, you wake up. When you wake up and you feel blah. How old are you? 17. Oh my gosh. Hormones everywhere. You wake up in the morning and you're just all over the place. You have no idea how you're feeling. You're hungry. You're tired. And you're excited at the same time. You know, you're hyper and tired. How can you be both? You just are. Okay, you're curious and tired. All these things are happening in your life. You've got two different homes, two different sets of things going on all the time. And you wake up and you have a choice. Well, you have the word of the Lord over you that says you're a man of God and you're called to serve in His house and to be a pillar in this house. And over again, the Lord confirms it. And you say, I don't feel that way. My room's even a mess.
No,
what's that?
I said, no, that's a tornado,
okay? Like, all these things. Everything's a mess, including my room. I don't feel any of that. And the enemy says, that's right. You're just a carloader. And it reminds you of things people have said or you've said. And then it reminds you of things you've done. It tells you what kind of a carloader you are. That's a family word. I'll explain that word later. Okay? It means not good. Okay? Okay? And then that moment you choose. Because you look at your circumstances and your circumstances don't bear out right away. These don't look like the promises of God. Lord says, hey, guess what? I've called you. You know who you guys are? You're a godly family. You're a righteous home. You're a man of God. You're a prophet in the house. You're a seer. You're going to see things and say things, and they're going to freak people out, but it's going to be born out of an intimacy with God and a love for your wife. And you are going to be an example to younger women of loyalty and kindness, and you've got great things. And then you walk, and then you go home, and you're like, well, all we remember is the fight we had yesterday. You choose. You live according to God's declarations over you, or you live according to the lies the enemy tries to accuse you and distract you with. You choose. You choose. God has not given you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. If God is with us, who can be against us? Can anything separate us from the love of God? No. You choose. The worries of life, the distractions of life, the concerns of this life are like thorns that come up and want to pull on that. But the response, the seed isn't like some victim. The responsibility is the soil. Someone say it again, the soil.
The soil.
You decide. This is, read the parable again, read it carefully, and read for, study for it. Tell me when you find it. The soil striving and sweating and working hard. Doesn't. This isn't about labor. It's not about striving. It's about submitting. Giving place. Honoring the word. Clearing out. Making room. Protecting it at all costs. Insisting on no strife. Insisting on joy. Insisting on hope. Insisting on gratitude in my life. I'm gonna make room for the prosperous word of the Lord over me. This means seeing yourself according to the word, speaking in agreement with the word until that word, keeping that word in your thoughts, keeping it in your feelings, keeping it in your confession until you are formed by that word, even as that word continues to form you. We are skipping. We are skipping. I want you to go right to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. This is exactly what we've been talking about already. 1 Timothy 1:18. This is from the New King James. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to Timothy about his life and about his assignment. Everybody say assignment. He is writing to Timothy about his assignment. And here's what he says. This is so cool. Now listen, I want you to think about your assignment. You have a lot of them, but just pick one. What's your assignment, Dylan? Your assignment is to live today in the light of God's promise. Live today. You live today. You lean into that. You make decisions based on who God says you are. You make decisions. All right, let's have a little discipleship moment because he asked me how. That means you, if a situation comes up, whether it's dating or entertainment, and you make a choice based on who God says you are, not on choices that you've made, not on choices that others say, not even in yielding to whatever carnal stuff going on, but who does God say I am? What does that person do? This is exactly what Paul says to Timothy right here. This is what he says.
Charge.
This is an assignment, a charge. This is serious. This charge I commit to you, Jess. Whew, boy, there's something flowing. Thank you, Gary, for that welcome. I don't know anything about your dad or your family line. I don't know anything good, bad, or indifferent. All I know is that what God is doing and what God is calling you, there's a father thing He's giving you, and it's wonderful. A gift, a grace as a father. To step into something, you might have the world's greatest dad, doesn't matter. You're stepping into something that you haven't seen before. You're going to model something fresh, and you're going to change your family line. I've said this to you before. It's coming again. You're going to change your family line. There's a shift. In 19-something or another, my dad, a young man, 20-something or another years old, went to Bethel Assembly of God in Glendale, California, didn't know Jesus. He walked into that place, and in that meeting, changed what it meant to be a Davenport. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He surrendered his life to Jesus, and then from that time on, what it meant to be a Davenport for the rest of for generations to come. He has grandchildren now what it means to be a Davenport for them changed because of what happened to him. And this is what's going on. What it means to be a Rice is changing. All right? Hope that's okay. You still love me if every word's on my... I yelled at my 12-year-old happily first service, so you got it off easy. Okay? But he was shouting me down, so it was okay. So anyway, 1 Timothy, back to the Bible. 1 Timothy 1:18, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies made previously..." "According to the prophecies previously made concerning you." That's an interesting phrase. It's according to the prophecies made before you. Like previously or right in front of your face. "According to these prophecies that by them..." Someone say by them.
By them.
Say it again. By them.
By them.
"That by them you may wage the good warfare." According to the prophecies made over you, wage war. There's two words. Wage the good warfare. There's two ideas. There's the actual fighting. The first part is the battle plan, and the second part is the battling. So your battle plan and your battling, you are done in accord with, or in light of, or in view of believing true the word spoken over you. So your inspiration, your identity, and your inspiration to contend for the kingdom, your assignment as the kingdom, is done in accord with what has been spoken over you. Now, on one hand, that tells us there's tremendous value. That's why the word places tremendous value on prophecy in the house. Right? On the other hand, you may be one in the house who say, "You know, I don't remember the last time somebody came up to me and said, 'Thus saith the Lord,' something or another. First of all, they don't have to say it like that. It can just be a kind word. But maybe you don't remember. Maybe it hasn't been real recent. Guess what? The testimony of the Lord has no shelf life. And everything right here, this testimony, this declaration over you, means you. It means you. Now, so I'm trying to say two things at once. We should value and stir up. The Bible says, pursue love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy, because folks need it to be encouraged and inspired, their identity, their inspiration to get up and contend for the kingdom. It requires on the affirming declarations of God's word. And you don't have to come down from a mountain with tablets and a staff and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Just speak the heart of God to a person in that moment. Okay? That's prophecy. Okay? Just follow love and turn it loose. You'll be fine. Okay? Okay? I'm out of time. Follow love, turn it loose, you'll be fine. You'll encourage somebody. Okay? It's up to them to decide where that is and what witness that is, okay? So Paul says, according to these prophecies, wage war. These are your battle plans. These are your strategies. And this is your source of inspiration and strength and identity in your life calling. The word of the Lord over you. The word of the Lord over you. You just pick up this thing and start looking at what has already been said. It's more than enough for you to make for there to be a huge produce in your life. A huge harvest is already... I don't have to say, no one has to say one more thing over you. They will, because God's good and that's the way He does things. But if they never did, you've got enough right here for a huge harvest.
Amen.
This is what happens when I walk away from my notes. Okay? There's enough here. I can throw this at you. There's enough here for you to produce a huge harvest. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have received from God. You are the Son of God. Now you are a Son of God. Now. And God has given you authority. God has given you authority to become a Son of God, to walk in His good pleasure. Look, Luke 19. He has given you His resources and the responsibility to go out and to occupy and to enlarge His kingdom until He comes. All these things. The Scripture has already quoted more than enough seed sown into your life, if you'll receive it, to produce a huge harvest. Most of us won't. I'm not saying negatively. I'm not trying to prophesy something negative. I'm just saying most of us won't even live up to the seed we already have in the barn. Sow it. Every seed has power to make it. Every seed has power to produce a huge harvest. The only difference is, will we be the soil that treasures and responds to and accommodates the Word of God? Will you do it? Will you receive the Word? Will you respond to it? Will you honor it? Will you treasure it? Will you wage war accordingly? Will you choose to lean into the Word of God? Will you choose to believe what it says, even when circumstances say otherwise? Is that wise? Well, let me ask you one more question in closing. If I take this apple seed, which I don't have in my hand, but I wish I did, and I wish that I could have given out to everybody. So imagine, you have an apple seed. The assignment given to that apple seed, is it an apple tree? According to the assignment of God, yes, right? If I put that seed into the ground and I walk away with water and everything else, I protect it, and I'm beneath the surface, boom, ooh, wow, bam, there's the explosion. The Word of God is released, and there's a small root that comes out and dives into the soil. Is it an apple tree? What about the other big trees around there that are all showing off, all these big arborvitaes and maple trees? They're like, you're not a tree, you're just a little root. Nope. Despite circumstances, according to the assignment given and the DNA of God, that thing is an apple tree. Is that right? You can just take that further. What about with just a little shoot coming up out of the ground that's still tender, that still needs protection, that's still at risk of all these other things? You know, is it an apple tree? Yeah. Are you a man of God? Are you?
Yeah.
Are you? Yeah, you are. Absolutely. Yeah, you got room to grow? Sure.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? We're here for that. We're going to help you. Now, I'm just using him as an illustration. I can be picking on anybody. Just don't sit in the front row. I'll throw things at you. It's that apple tree shoots up and it bears fruit and there's apples everywhere. Apples are falling off the ground. Falling off the thing onto the ground. Is it an apple tree?
Yeah.
Then October happens. No. Then there's no apples. And so October, I don't know what people are going to make fun of me. Let's call it December. That's safe. Okay. In December, there's no, you know, somebody's like, that's harvest time, Dad. Oh, whatever. Anyway, in December, no leaves, no apples, just wood and prickly wood. Is it an apple tree? You mean even though the seasons might change for that tree, it still carries the assignment of God? And even and after it's grown and full of bloom, and is it time for that apple tree to go, all right, that's it. I have arrived at my full purpose. No. Because the life in God's Word keeps going. Because now we find out that that little seed, the real assignment of that little seed had enough power, if given room and given place, the assignment that God gave that seed, that Word, has the power to feed a nation. It becomes an orchard and then a countryside. It could even produce an economy for an entire region. No bigger than this. I want you to consider the power, the intent, the design of God's Word spoken over us. Pick one. Pick one declaration from the Scriptures. Pick something that you know, something that's been confirmed by the Holy Spirit or by this spoken by a trusted brother or sister. Pick one. Run with it. Honor it. Treasure it. Lean into it. Believe it. Act accordingly. Decide accordingly. Regardless of circumstances or situations that may feel contrary, act, live, think, protect, treasure the Word.